You're listening to a Church Doctor production.
Welcome to Kent Hunter's Prescriptions from a Church Doctor, presented by Church Doctor Ministries.
You hear a lot about declining churches these days, but there's another way. Hi, I'm Kent Hunter, Church Doctor, here to share with you hope for a declining church. And whether you're declining or not, I hope you'll find hope in what I have to share. Over the last four decades, those of us at Church Doctor Ministries have been fanatically focused on helping churches, God's precious people, to become effective missionaries right where the Savior has placed them, in your church, in your community. Many Christ followers have seen the vision, caught the passion of Jesus, and reignited their lives to become missionaries to those in their social networks who are not yet believers. And in the process, we have tried to enjoy that great privilege of serving 1,800 congregations from 78 denominations in North America alone, and training tens of thousands of Christians and Christian leaders on six continents. What's the result? As you might imagine, some get it, and others remain lost in the weeds. In the weeds of doing church in a maintenance mode, and their congregations are sadly aging and declining. It's easier to give birth than to raise the dead, my mission professor told our class of pastors. One of my classmates, Rick Warren, he got it. Our Church Doctor Next Generation leader, Tracy Swank, and I recently had an opportunity to visit Rick's church, Saddleback, in Southern California. Rick is retired now, but the movement continues to move. We observed over a dozen children being baptized. And you know what? There is proof like this everywhere. Some churches really do get it, yet other churches maintain, age, and decline. You might want to call it a stuck movement. As you know, the movement of Jesus isn't making the greatest impact everywhere in every church. In fact, over the last four decades, the Christian church in North America has been losing ground. Does this impact your nation, the future, your grandkids, and life in general? You bet it does. Now, before you shake your head in disgust or get overwhelmed in personal regret or blame your pastor or think the future is hopeless and you can't do anything about it, pause. I mean it, pause. Pray. Yeah, say a prayer. And if you dare, ask God to speak so strongly to your heart and mind that you are moved to a new sense of openness. Allow God to move even the smallest piece of you that is part of the spiritual problem. Ask the Lord to give you a sense of openness to what He wants you to do in you, among your friends, and in your church. By the power of the Holy Spirit, a few Christ followers can make a huge difference in this world. Jesus basically started with 12. Judas didn't make it, but Jesus supplied Paul. You see, God desperately wants you and me and our churches to take the power of Jesus to our world. Yet, I know, it's so easy to get caught up in church and church stuff, stuck in maintenance mode, with well-meaning believers all wrapped up in rituals. We become so heavenly-minded, we're no earthly good. and consumer Christianity cripples. Now, don't misunderstand. In Christ, you are born again and nurtured into discipleship. Yet, it's not all about you or me. We are blessed, which means divinely happy in Jesus. We are blessed to be a blessing. Church is not an organization or just a place to worship. Church is a movement. It moves you to move others, to multiply the eternal power of Jesus and his life-giving miracles. God uses ordinary people like you and me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we get to be vessels of divine power that moves mountains of eternal blessing in the lives of others. It is, by definition, our mission. But mission is messy. It was for Jesus. It is for you and me. Likely, we won't be nailed to a cross or executed for our faith. At least, I hope not. But it's not a walk in the park, either. If you want to be faithful to Jesus, do mission. To do mission, you need to learn to be a missionary. I really wanted to be a mission-driven person at the start of God's journey for me. So I went to 4 years of college, 4 years of seminary, 3 years of doctoral studies in graduate school. And I learned a lot of good stuff, and I'm grateful. Yet I did not learn how to be a missionary. After a year or so in a congregation, as a frustrated pastor who desperately wanted to reach lost people for Jesus, I enrolled in mission school while pastoring my church, and I learned what they teach those who are called to be missionaries, that usually means you're going to some foreign country. But I learned that to apply it to my own country. You see, the mission field isn't just overseas. It may include your neighbor, those at work, a few relatives, maybe one of your adult children or your mom and dad. Your world is a mission field if you are a missionary. You can learn to be a missionary. There are many agencies and ministries like Church Doctor Ministries that teach missiology, the study of missions, the work of missionaries who want to reach out to others even if you don't ever leave home. Yes, where you live is a mission field. You know lots of people who have no personal relationship with Jesus. Pray for those people, and don't be shocked if God makes you the messenger. And that's a wild ride. I want to share with you 5 roadblocks to mission effectiveness. As the median age of church members grows older in many congregations, God begins to demonstrate to numerous Christians, and I hope and pray that includes you, that among all the good things that your church does, we're not always as effective in reaching the largest number of people in our communities. They are the ones who are what we might call functionally unchurched. They don't attend worship ever, not even for Christmas or Easter. There are also those who do attend on the sacred holidays, but are likely spiritually detached from a living faith on a daily basis. And they are likely not growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are many, but I'd like to focus on 5 roadblocks that are in many churches, and these roadblocks distance Christians from mission effectiveness. Now, don't get me wrong, they are not intentional hindrances in your church. They occur from what might be called mission drift, often energized by the enemy's lie that your nation is Christian. Of course, if you watch the news, there is an abundance of proof that your world desperately needs Jesus. You and your church need to be a missionary-minded group of people, just as Jesus has called you. So let's look at five roadblocks. Roadblock mission effectiveness number one, pastoral training with minimal missiology. When I graduated from seminary, there were three or four of my classmates who felt called to be missionaries. And what did that mean? Well, that clearly meant to everyone that they were going overseas. It meant that they had to go to a specialized mission school. It reflected that the rest of us, called to serve churches in our own country, did not get mission training. And this is a similar scenario in numerous denominations. It also means that most pastors are equipped for church maintenance, not community mission. It declares the lie that our country, our city, is not a mission field. It signals that much of the Christian movement is doomed for disaster. It predicts that decline of faith and the moral decline of the nation is inevitable. Now, there are many churches that are exceptions, but not nearly enough to redirect the mission momentum in our own backyard. So, roadblock number one is pastoral training, and also the leadership of the church, leadership training, with mission training instead of minimal talk about training for missions. Mission effectiveness to reach those who are unchurched. That's a good place to start for mission effectiveness. Roadblock to mission effectiveness number two, membership rather than mission. This challenge subtly implies that the growth of the church relies on the babies born to existing members. While raising Christian kids is a biblical priority, it will never produce a revival in the nation. It will never be enough to reverse the secular trends that destroy whole countries. When the focus is exclusively on growing those who are members, the impact of those outside the congregation is minimal. In an increasingly secular society, the local church is doomed for eventual default as the number of funerals greatly eclipses the newborns. The platform is focused on membership rather than mission. The church has great focus on nurturing members, which is good, but growing disciples is a vital part of the Christian adventure. However, when the focus is on members, the mission is diminished. The potential for explosive growth, often called revival, is truncated by a subtle but limited focus on the members with little impact on unbelievers. The primary focus is on members rather than mission. So roadblock number two is to move the goal of the church beyond good members to include each member and their focus on mission. Your unchurched friends, neighbors, relatives, fellow workers, and classmates are your mission field. You are the missionary, and your church should train you to get the job done. Roadblock to mission effectiveness number three, politically driven church governance. This is a big one. It may come to a surprise to you as you and other congregational members have the idea that the denominational leaders have influenced you to believe that Robert's Rules of Order are biblical. Guess what? Robert's Rules of Order are not in the Bible. They are not spiritual and not helpful. The decision-making approach for operating the body of Christ is based on Scripture. Most church constitutions are based on secular rules rather than a biblical New Testament design. The disciples fell into this trap when they wanted to replace Judas. Remember that? They used a crude form of voting by drawing straws. And a guy by the name of Matthias won. And you never hear about him again. It's as if the Holy Spirit was saying, "My ways are not your ways." In fact, if you remember your scripture, it was the risen Jesus who chose the 12th apostle on the Damascus Road. His name is Paul. He was called, not elected. God does have a pattern for doing church business. It includes some important dimensions. Those dimensions are Scripture, prayer, and discipling. However, votes, debates, politics, rules of order, and parliamentary procedure are not the model of the New Testament church. So, roadblock number three is the political structure in most churches and denominations. You can restructure your church decision-making process so it is totally based on Scripture, prayer, and discipling. At Church Doctrine Ministries, we've helped a number of churches to do just that, and they love it. They are liberated, in their own words. Let's look at roadblock to mission effectiveness number four. It is consumer mentality. Consumerism is easy to spot in many churches. It focuses on what is the will of the people. However, in the body of Christ, the church, the will of God rules, or it's supposed to take precedent. We even pray in the Lord's Prayer, "We want what you want." We say, "Your will be done," here on earth, just like it occurs in heaven. And when it comes to mission and ministry, Scripture is so clear about what God wants. It is never about what His followers want. In fact, we confess and we even believe His will is best, and we want that for our lives, for our churches, and for our world. Yet, so much of our world is driven by consumerism. Jesus clarifies what it means when we call Him Lord. Even in the commandments, we confess that there are no other gods before Him. But the consumer mentality is strong. It has the power to disrupt whole churches. It has disrupted entire denominations and other Christian movements. While it may seem counterintuitive to humans, by faith, we declare that His will is perfect. So roadblock number four is the consumer-driven decisions and actions that are more the result and the will of people than the will of God, according to Scripture. You can focus on the will of God, according to Scripture, and it will work for you. It brings us to roadblock to mission effectiveness number five, inflammation of the fellowship. You know, church is supposed to be your spiritual family. That's a good thing. It's one of the greatest blessings of faith. The fellowship of the church reflects love when you are unlovable, support when you fail, and forgiveness when you mess up. There is nothing quite like it. When fellowship is healthy, when it carries the biblical intent, acceptance and love have no boundaries. The blessing is eternally endless. However, when fellowship becomes the driving purpose of your faith and your church, and your Christian service, you can become so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Jesus demonstrated and loved the fellowship. He had a great time at a wedding, even miraculously supplying more wine. He made sure the disciples were imprinted with the value of fellowship with other believers. Fellowship is never a goal or end in itself, but when congregations overdo fellowship at the expense of mission, they suffer from inflammation of the fellowship. The unique design of spiritual fellowship is so attractive, it can become a roadblock to mission. Obviously, the disciples loved the fellowship with Jesus and one another. Jesus demonstrated the joy of fellowship with his disciples and a wider group of followers. Yet, he never traded it for the hard, painful, bloody mission that would end his earthly life on the cross. So, celebrate your fellowship, yet never, never sacrifice the mission on the altar of fellowship. We Christians have love to share, but mission to accomplish. So roadblock number 5 is inflammation of the fellowship. When we like being with our fellow Christians so much, we lose sight of our mission to seek and save the lost by introducing them to Jesus. Reach others for Jesus so they experience the fellowship and it changes their lives. If your church is challenged, ask God for an infusion of hope. Churches that are declining and/or aging are still the body of Christ, the resurrected Christ. Put your hope in Jesus and his promises. Place your priorities in his mission. He gives us the privilege to join him and change the world, one person at a time. He gives us the opportunity to renew his movement, one church at a time. I'm Ken Hunter, founder of Church Doctor Ministries, a mission to help the local church renew, revive, and thrive. I wrote a book called Who Broke My Church? 7 Proven Strategies for Renewal and Revival. I've also written 34 other books that help Christians like you renew the Christian movement and reach our world for Jesus. And what I'm saying is that my whole life cause is to help people like you reach people who don't yet know Jesus. God bless you in that mission.
You have been listening to Kent Hunter's Prescriptions from a Church Doctor, presented by Church Doctor Ministries. If you've liked this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to hear future episodes. Check out Kent Hunter's new books, A Nation Reclaims Respect, The Amazing Power of God's Stories, and Church Politics, all available at churchdoctor.org and amazon.com.